Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are past sexual assault mentioned and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Tootie De Los Santos Moncada.
Oh, wow. And it says, I listen to Girls at Work now, and oh my God, it's always so funny trying to react normally to hearing pussy in my ear while I'm sweeping the subway lobby. Cute. I just thought that was funny.
Pussy.
The subway lobby. Oh, I don't know why. I was thinking like the underground subway, but I think you mean subway, the sandwich
shop. Same thing, the underground subway. I'm like, oh, a New York girl.
Hey, East Coaster.
And this week we're telling Riley all about The Deal by L. Kennedy. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
So this is a reread for me. I read it, I want to say early 2022. So I thought it was real spicy back then. I gave it 5-star. This time around, very cutesy, 4-star.
I gave this book a 5-star. I have a new book boyfriend. I love everything about it.
I gave it a 4.5. I was very pleasantly surprised because this isn't usually my cup of tea, like the college contemporary romances. I really liked the female main character. I really liked the male main character. I thought it was a really good book.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hannah can't stop staring at Justin Cole during philosophy at the lecture hall. He's beautiful and one of the only two men that she's been into since her assault. She knows it's a crush, though, because an athlete like him wouldn't be into an artsy girl like her. There's another star athlete in the class, Garrett Graham, but she doesn't feel the same way about him. And he has failed his midterm, but too bad.
Oh, okay.
She's like, this guy fucking sucks.
Stupid jock. She's like one of the only couple people that passed the exam too.
She's probably like,
Once the lecture is dismissed, Justin looks at her and she tries to be cool and casual and gives him like a little head nod and he smiles and then she's off to rehearsal. Which like in my head when I was rereading that, I was like, what if he was like smiling to someone behind her and it's like one of those situations where you're like, hey.
I feel like it was. It had to have been.
I think so. Garrett can't believe that he failed and his average grade has now dropped to a C-. He needs at least a C+ to play Briar hockey and he's not a dumb jock, but this class and his Spanish class are the only two where he has a low grade in. As he's leaving the lecture hall, he sees a girl that catches his eye. Nice ass, small frame, and he sees her exam paper. She got an A. He approaches her and asks if he could sneak a peek at her answers and swallows his pride asking for her to actually tutor him. She tells him she's way too busy between school, work, and rehearsal, so good luck. Later that day, he gets home from his study group and his roommates slash teammates are drunk and they tell him that they have a surprise for him upstairs in his room. He grabs a couple beers and when he gets to his room, he sees a smoking hot girl named Kendall who he frequently hooks up with. They hook up, they're cuddling in his bed and he doesn't want to do this, but he also doesn't want to be that guy that leads her on. So he's thinking of a way to be like, hey girl, you gotta go.
Get out of my bed.
She tells him that she missed him and he's panicking because he did not miss her.
Oh my God, stupid men.
She senses the hesitation and he tells her that he thought they were pretty clear that this was just hooking up, nothing more. She tells him that she's a bit hurt, but she won't hook up with him anymore if she can't have more from him. And he says, say no more, we ain't hooking up. And they part ways.
Nice. A nice clean break though.
Yeah. He goes downstairs to eat with his friends and tells them about his grade and that he can't play unless it gets better. And then he promises that he's hiring a very specific tutor. And she turned him down, but he's telling his friends that he's gonna hire her. Rehearsal doesn't go exactly how Hannah wants. She's doing a duet with a guy named Cass, who is a diva, and it's hard to work with him, but she's determined to make it through.
I just picture him as Ryan from High School Musical.
Yes, literally.
Yeah. And she's like a music major.
Oh, okay.
When it's over, she walks to her dorm where her roommate Allie tells her about a frat party that they're gonna go to on Wednesday. She tries to put up a fight, but ultimately loses because she has trauma around those parties because she was sexually assaulted at one. But her and Allie have a pact that if they go to a party, they stick together the whole time and neither of them drink. So she agrees.
Her bestie girl Allie's a real one.
She goes to get ready for bed when she gets a text from Garrett about hashing out details of her tutoring him. She asks how he got her number and he tells her from study group. And she says, I'm not tutoring you. Lose my freaking number, dude.
Oh my God. But like also, what has this guy done to you?
She hates him.
Yeah.
Exist.
Yeah. He's just alive. She's like, ah! Yeah. I get that. There's some men that I'm just like, ew, God.
She thinks he's just like an arrogant jock prick.
Yeah.
You can't judge a book by its cover, but I'm gonna.
Yeah, she's gonna too.
During her shift at the diner the next night, Garrett comes in 30 minutes before she's off and sits in her section, so she has no choice but to talk to him. He orders a bunch of food with a side of tutoring, and she again declines him. Her coworker fangirls over the fact that Garrett Graham is in Hannah's section, and Hannah's like, you know what? Take the table. Keep the money. It's all you, girl. So her coworker finishes her shift helping Garrett, and the whole time he's just watching Hannah.
He said, you will be tutoring me.
Persistence breaks down resistance.
Oh, no, Jenna. No.
Garrett knows that he needs to watch her because she will absolutely make a run for it when he's not looking.
Okay, freak. That's a weird thing to say.
He eats his food and wonders what her story is because no one really knows anything about her. Even when he asks people in study group, they're like, we know her name. That's about it. He finishes and then waits for her outside, ready to again ask for her to be his tutor. When she leaves, he does exactly what he plans on and asks what she wants in return if she's not interested in money. Because he's like, I will literally pay you whatever you want. And she's like, no.
Yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat. I'd be like, okay, give me money.
She's a busy girl. Money motivated.
He offers different options just in case she's not money motivated. Booze, drugs, perhaps a date with the most popular guy on campus.
Wrong thing to say to her. She doesn't give a shit about that.
The last one piques her interest a little bit.
Oh.
And they both make it clear that they aren't into each other, but if she wants, the date could boost her popularity and maybe catch someone's attention.
Justin.
She tells him no and then drives away. So after all that, she's like, nah.
Nah.
God.
At the frat party, Hannah can tell Allie is itching to go dance with her boyfriend, Sean. So she tells Allie she'll be fine and she'll find her if she wants to leave. A football player named Jimmy comes up, clearly interested in her, but she's awkward because it's not Justin. He tries to flirt with her a little bit and then she sees Garrett enter the party. Apparently, him and Jimmy are in the same frat, so he can't talk super bad about him, but admits to Hannah that he cannot stand Garrett. Garrett spots them and makes his way over and she's like, hey, Jimmy, you want to dance? Let's go right now. Let's go. She's trying to avoid Garrett. It works for a song and then she excuses herself to use the restroom. She finds Allie afterward, admitting that she wants to leave, but Justin just arrived.
Justin.
She accidentally bumps into him and they finally talk. They chit-chat for a bit. She's a nervous wreck, but when they go their separate ways, unfortunately, Garrett is there to intercept her. He tells Hannah that she is not Justin's type, and now she's like, fuck you, I want to go home. That was so rude.
Yeah, I feel like I would interpret that as like, hey, uggo.
Yeah.
That man doesn't like you.
She texts Allie saying that she'll be waiting on the porch for her cab, but Garrett is not letting her leave that easily. He apologizes if the comment came across rude, but he tells her Justin goes for girls with a certain social status. So, again, he offers to date her to get that social status in trade for tutoring. He offers her a ride home and they discuss the details of how the trade would work further. He lets her know that if they date for 1 week while she tutors him, Justin will want what he can't have, because that's how guys work. As he drops her off at her dorms, she tells him tomorrow is their first day of tutoring and she'll meet him at his place after work.
Doing this all for a man.
Thought she was smart.
Yeah, dumb girl. Just kidding.
At his house the next day, she meets his roommates, and of course, they're all fucking hot.
Yeah, yeah.
They're hockey players. So hot. Ow,
ow. They're all missing teeth.
That's fine. They have ones that they push up there, you know?
Oh, yeah. The little retainers with the tooth attached.
Hot. Yeah.
Sexy. They have to take them out when they eat.
Take them out right before bed. Ow. Yum. Yeah.
They make it up to his room, and she changes out of her work uniform in the restroom, and then they get started. Their hour is up, but by the end, she sees that he genuinely wants to learn and actually pass his class, so they make a plan for tomorrow and she's out of there. The next day, rehearsal is shit because of Cass, and she brings her bad attitude to the study date. He can tell that she's upset and asks what's going on, so she spills. He tells her to play the version that Cass wants and the version that she wants for the duet, so that he can let her know if she's right or maybe Cass is onto something. He grabs his roommate's guitar and tells her, go ahead, play both. He gets settled on his bed and she plays both versions, but he ultimately agrees with her version, but he asks her to keep singing because he really loves her voice.
Uh-huh. She's got the voice of an angel.
Once she's done, they call it a night, and when she gets back to her dorm, he texts her telling her that he deleted stuff off of her iPod when she was in the bathroom and has emailed her a new music playlist.
Okay, but also that would piss me off.
Yeah, that's rude.
He deleted like all like One Direction and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck? You're not just gonna change my music taste.
She goes to bed that night and she thinks that her and Garrett might actually be friends.
Yeah, girl.
Garrett's playing a game the next day and his dad is there watching. He hates his father and tries to block him out and they end up winning. On his way out, his dad nods to him and leaves without saying a word. So they have a very like tense relationship that you learn later.
And his dad is like a hockey star.
Yeah. He's like the Wayne Gretzky of this fake book.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Me neither. He's like the greatest hockey player of all time.
Oh, the GOAT.
Yeah.
The G-O-A-T. Yes, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The GOAT.
Hannah talks to her mom for their weekly Sunday chat and learns that her parents can't come to her aunt's house in Philadelphia for the Thanksgiving. And that's what they normally do. She never goes home for holidays. They all go to her aunt's house because her parents and her are now the town pariah. Like, no one likes them. Mm-hmm. They have a hard time going anywhere. She barely goes home because of it. It's a whole thing. And they became like ostracized after her sexual assault because she wasn't believed.
Oh, that's terrible.
Her mom admits that they would leave and go to her if they could afford it, but unfortunately they're stuck and having to work through the holiday. Hannah decides to stay at Briar and send her parents the money that she has saved up, and then she goes to breakfast with Allie.
Oh, sad.
Later that day, she arrives at Garrett's house for another tutoring session, and once their hour is up, he invites her to stay for pizza and watch TV because everybody's out at a party and Allie is with Sean for the night. They watch a whole season of Breaking Bad and half of the second season until it's 3 a.m.
Great show.
So good.
They decide that she is not going to take a cab home and they're too tired for him to drive her, so he gives her a shirt and they pass out in his bed. Garrett wakes up to Hannah plastered to him and cuddling him, and he enjoys it for a second when he's like, wait, nope, no relationship, nuh-uh, no thank you.
Ugh, I don't do girlfriends.
Just cuddle.
She wakes up and tells him that he is going to drive her home before his roommates wake up and realize that she stayed the night. She's like, I will not be caught waking up with you.
How embarrassing.
The day goes by slow, but Justin starts noticing her during their ethics class. They flirt a bit before Garrett accidentally cockblocks her by bringing her a coffee and says that she might need it after last night. After class, they make their plans for tomorrow's session, and he tells her to not go after Justin until after Beau Maxwell's party, because he wants to, like, make Justin wait. Like, don't look too eager.
Long game, right.
She goes to rehearsal and learns that Cass asked Mary Jane, who is, like, their songwriter and who's doing the piano for the song, he asked her out, and that's why they will be going with Cass's idea for the duet.
Traitor.
Garrett's at home going over the graded paper Hannah gave back to him when all of his roommates decide to throw a raging party.
So all of the girls on Hannah's floor are getting together to have a Ryan Gosling movie marathon tomorrow, and she's like, damn, I have tutoring at 9. Let me see if I can come over at 7 instead. She calls Garrett on her break at work, and it sounds like there's a huge party in the background. She tries telling him that she's going to come over 2 hours earlier, and he's like, yeah, can't really hear you. 9, got it. And she's like, no, I'll be there at 7. He's like, okay, whatever, got it, see you tomorrow. The next night, she gets to his house at 7 o'clock on the dot, and his roommates are looking at her like, hey, what are you doing here? She tries telling them that she called Garrett yesterday to tell him that she was going to be here earlier, and she starts heading for his room. They try stopping her and telling her they think he maybe forgot, and she's like, oh, no problem, I'll go remind him. When she gets to his door and opens his room, she's stunned. Garrett is in the middle of getting his freak on with some loud bitch.
Oh.
She runs out of the room and she gets halfway to her car when he runs out after her, and they obviously fight over the situation.
Yeah, because aren't they supposed to be like appearing as boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like kind of appearing like just seeing each other, and she's like hella mad because she's like, we're supposed to be studying. And also she's like low-key jealous, but she doesn't know what these feelings are right now.
I would be pissed because I'm taking the time to fucking tutor you when I told you I can't, and I told you what time I was going to be there.
And you're getting your dick wet?
That's what their fight was about, yeah.
Do it after the studying.
Yeah. He rakes a hand through his short hair, and his biceps bulge as he does it. The cold air causes goosebumps to rise on his smooth golden skin, and my gaze is unwittingly drawn to the thin line of hair that arrows across his unbuttoned waistband. At the sight, an odd flicker of heat travels from my breast to my core. My body suddenly feels tight and achy, my fingers tingling with the urge to, oh, for fuck's sake, no. So what if the guy is totally cut? That doesn't mean I want to ride him like a cowgirl.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, girl.
He tells her she can't expect him to just study, skate, and do nothing else. She must hook up with people too. And she's like, actually, no. The last time I literally hooked up with anyone was my ex a year ago. He asks if they're still on for their date on Saturday, but she doesn't want to pass up the opportunity to be able to talk to Justin. So she says yes. It's Thursday, and Hannah's looking over the essay that she had Garrett do, and she's very impressed because Garrett's a very smart cookie.
Yes, Garrett.
They have a talk about their future plans, and he leans forward and tucks a strand of her hair behind her ear, and she tenses up, and he's like, girl, we're supposed to be together now. Like, you can't tense up if we're supposed to sell this charade. We want Justin to think we're on a date. Plus, I might kiss you, and you have to be prepared for it. If you freak out, he'll know it's all a ruse. Matter of fact, we should practice. Hannah says, oh, hell no, that's not happening. And he's like, why? Do you suck at kissing or something? You scared? She tells him that she's not scared. He's like, oh, okay, we'll just work on your self-confidence then. And she's like, I'm not insecure. I'm not. He's really manipulating the situation, but it's working, so.
It's gotta get through to her.
She's like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. He stalls, thinking that she's gonna back down, but she's ready to prove him wrong.
The second our lips meet, the strangest thing happens. Pulsing waves of heat unfurl inside me, starting at my mouth and then rippling down my body, tingling in the tips of my breasts before traveling even lower. He tastes like the peppermint gum he's been chewing all night, and the minty flavor suffuses my taste buds. My lips part of their own volition, and Garrett takes full advantage by sliding his tongue inside. When my tongue tangles with his, he makes a low growling noise in the back of his throat, and the erotic sound vibrates through my body.
I know.
She pulls away and asks how it was, and he said, I'm not sure. I need a little bit more to go off of. And they start smooching again, only this time it gets a little bit more steamy.
With an anguished moan, I angle my head to deepen the kiss, and my tongue eagerly explores his mouth. No, not eagerly, hungrily. I'm hungry for him. Garrett threads his fingers through my hair and tugs me closer, one powerful arm curling around my hip to keep me in place. My breasts are now crushed against his rock-hard chest, and I can feel the wild hammering of his heart. His excitement matches my own. The raw, husky groan he releases tickles my lips and sends my pulse careening.
They're having this heavy, steamy makeout sesh as Dean walks into the room asking to borrow something, and he stops dead in his tracks, obviously disturbing their moment. Hannah tries telling him, it's not what it looks like. Garrett was just trying to judge my makeout skills. And he's like, yeah, okay. He tells her, if that's really what he was doing, prove it. Let me see your skills too. Hannah, not wanting to show her hand and like show how much the kiss actually affected her, she ends up grabbing Dean and starts making out with him too. It was okay, but nothing like the chemistry her and Garrett just had.
Oh my God.
That's balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is. Go girl.
I'd be like, no.
You can't. I don't want to.
Hannah tells bestie Allie all about what happened and how she has a date with Garrett tonight. As she's getting ready, he gets to her house, and Allie sees right through the we're kind of friends line because Garrett comes in and picks out her outfit, telling her what color she looks beautiful in and how amazing her tits are.
Wow.
They get to the party and all eyes are on them. Garrett is a sweetie pie and is as attentive as ever with her. He grabs her a beer and she intensely denies it. And he's like, Wellsie. Her last name's Wells, so that's like a nickname that he calls her as Wellsie. And he's like, Wellsie, we're literally at a college frat party. Live a little. But still, she won't budge. He asks her why she's anti-drinking, and she tells him she's not anti-drinking. She's just not willing to do it at parties because she's worried about what could be put in her cup. Immediately, this puts him on high alert because he's genuinely concerned for her, and he asks if she was ever drugged. She shyly denies it, but says that it happened to a close friend of hers, and since then, it's made her very distrustful about drinking at parties. He promised her that he would never let that happen to her.
Sir, you also have no control of that.
Yeah. Sleazy men are gonna do what sleazy men do.
Well, he can promise that he specifically won't drug her.
Oh, that's true.
That's nice.
Thank
you.
If he wanted to, he would.
Yeah. If he wanted to not drug you, he wouldn't.
Right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin gets to the party, and finally, Hannah and him chit-chat, all while Garrett is stuck watching them from the corner. His ex-hookup Kendall appears, and she's hella mad and hurt because he told her he didn't want a girlfriend, but now he's showing up with Hannah and making it seem like he's dating her. She's about to start making a scene when Garrett asks her, honestly, why are you even into me? Like, you don't even know me. She tries saying she does, and he's like, okay, what's my favorite color? And she's like, blue? Hannah comes up from behind him saying, it's black. Then very obviously to him, but not obvious to Kendall, he realizes that she's saving him. She told Kendall that she has to steal him away because he was supposed to be getting them drinks and thirst calls. Once they're alone in the hallway, Garrett asks how her talk with Justin was. She tells him it went good. He even asked if they could get coffee sometime together. And this pisses Garrett off because he's like, that fool just tried stealing my date, even though you're not really my date, but for all he knows, we're together. Like, would you really want to go out with someone that slimy?
Yeah.
She tells Garrett no, but reminds him he knows they're just friends and that kiss meant nothing, right?
And he says, yeah, right.
It meant nothing to me. I don't love you.
Sure.
I hated it.
She gets up to get coffee from her study group with her friends and runs into none other than Justin. He straight up asks her if she's exclusively seeing Garrett, and she says no. And the whole time while they're trying to talk, Garrett is just calling her nonstop. He set his ringtone to Justin Timberlake's Bringing Sexy Back, so it's just like constantly ruining their moment.
I'd be like, excuse me, I have to put my phone on silent. Sorry.
After Justin verifies once more that she's definitely not dating Garrett, he asks her out for a dinner date next Sunday. She's ecstatic and says, hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Imagine that's what she really says.
He's like, all right, well, never mind.
When he leaves, Garrett is still calling and she answers. And he's like, do you want to go to Dean's birthday party tomorrow? It's at a bar and then we're going to go back to my house for the after party. He tells her he gets his midterm back tomorrow and he might be either celebrating or moping. And either way, he wants to be with her. The next day at school, she's suddenly popular thanks to her newly being with Garrett. Everyone's saying hi and she's no longer invisible. Garrett ends up getting an A- on his midterm and he swoops her up in a big hug, sweeping her off her feet and twirling her in the air. He tells her he wants her to have a drink tonight and she's like, why? Like, you know where I stand with that.
To help you see that it's okay to let down your guard sometimes. Look, I'm the DD tonight, but I'm offering to be more than just your driver. I'll be your bodyguard and your bartender and most importantly, your friend. I promise to look out for you tonight, Wellesley. That is very sweet, but also like drinking is not the only way to have fun. Yeah, like you don't need to drink to have fun.
He just wants her to loosen up, live a little.
Fuck him, it's fine. Wait, what?
She did say that and he was like, no, I know. I just want you to know that you'd be safe. And she said, I'll think about it. It's later at the bar when Garrett asks if she wants something to drink. Hannah thinks about it and then says, sure, a pina colada. And our girl, less loose, okay? Garrett never leaves her side as she's slugging them back and living her best life. Three pina coladas later, she's singing karaoke, putting the whole bar in awe. And Garrett's roommate, Logan, is straight up looking at her like she is Jesus herself. People are getting really comfortable around Hannah, which is great. But Garrett also promised her that he would protect her. So when her song is over, he distracts her and pulls her off stage out of the wandering eyes of others. As they're hanging out, the Lynyrd Skynyrd Tuesday's Gone song comes on and Garrett's whole demeanor changes. He stands up and asks Hannah to dance. She's kind of taken back, but Hannah's like, if Garrett wants to dance, we dance. And she grabs his hands and they hit the floor. They have a cutesy, intimate dance and it slowly is charged with want. Hannah fights it because they're just friends.
The heat of his body sears into me. His scent surrounds me and I'm excruciatingly aware of his warm hand clutching mine. Before I can stop myself, I rub my thumb over the center of his palm. Garrett's breath hitches. Yep, it has to be the alcohol. There's no other explanation for the sensations coursing through my body. The ache in my breast, the tight clenching of my thighs, and the strange emptiness in my core. You want that man, girl.
When the song ends, she can feel the sadness pouring out of him, and immediately she asks what's wrong. He tells her that song was his mom's favorite song, and they played it at her funeral. And it was either dancing with her or bawling his eyes out right then and there. He asks if she would be okay for a moment so he could go to the bathroom, and immediately she says yes, of course. But of course, once she's alone, she runs into none other than her ex-boyfriend, Devin. It's awkward. He's the one that she dated for 8 months, and she just could not get herself to orgasm with him because of her past assault. He was with his beautiful new girlfriend, and Hannah couldn't help but compare herself to her because she sees herself as broken from the assault, and Devin's new girlfriend is beautiful and perfect and can probably orgasm just fine.
Or Devin sucks.
True.
Yeah.
Once they say goodbye, she's still in the hallway waiting for Garrett as she's trying really hard to keep herself together. But as Garrett comes out, he sees her crying. Hannah tries telling him she's fine and this is all silly and she decides to hide her pain in alcohol. They're back at Garrett's house and Hannah is fucking smashed. She's now provocatively dancing and Garrett is sticking to his promise. He gently grabs Hannah's hand and leads her into his room and tells her the party's over. Time to go night-night. After helping her get changed into sleeping clothes while still keeping his eyes to himself because he's a chivalrous king, she tells him that she had so much fun tonight. She might be broken, but she can still have fun. And Garrett freezes and he's like, what? Like, why did you just say that? but she doesn't answer because she's passed the fuck out. Now that she's asleep and safe, he heads downstairs and starts drinking with his roommates. He gets back in his bed at 2:30 and Hannah's fast asleep. When he gets on his side of the bed, the shift of the bed wakes her up and Hannah rolls over to him and starts getting a little handsy. He tries prying her off and telling her, "What are you doing, girl? Don't do this." But now she's like kissing on his neck and she insists that she most definitely does. She climbs on top of him and tells him to stop being difficult and then kisses him. As much as he loves the kiss, he stops it and tells her they can't. She tells him that she wants it so bad, and in his head, he can't help but agreeing about how bad he wants to fuck her. But his logic is stronger than his want, and he tells her that she trusted him to look out for her, and this is him doing that. They cannot do this tonight.
Oh, a gentleman.
Sweet boy.
Slay.
She looks surprised and says, "Oh, okay." And then snuggles up against him and says, "Good night," and falls right back asleep. And Garrett's like, "Good night? Like, how can I sleep after this?"
He's probably got blue balls.
Hannah woke up in Garrett's arms, totally content. Last night was amazing. She drank in public without having a panic attack, and it really forced her to accept that her assault fucked her up more than she could admit. She remembers last night with Garrett completely clear too. He thought she would be too drunk to remember, but the reality of the situation was that she was very much aware of what she was doing, and she kissed him and got on top of him and would have slept with him because she wanted to. She wakes Garrett up with a kiss and he's like, "Did I just dream that you kissed me?" And she's like, "Nope. Are you 100% awake? Because I have something super important to ask you.
Do you want to fuck?"
She has his full attention now, and she straight up asks him if he will have sex with her.
Oh, girl.
Not now, but maybe tonight. And he's like, "Why? What's changed?" She insists that nothing has, but he was like, "No, seriously. Like, if we're going to do this, let's be honest." She tells him that she's broken, and she wants him to fix her. He's still not tracking, like, why she's saying that, and she finally drops the bomb that it was her who was drugged and raped, not her friend. Garrett, of course, is angry for her and at a loss for words. She tells him that she's gone to therapy since and has worked through her trauma, but she can't have an orgasm with the guy, and she thought that maybe he would be the one who could help her achieve that. She starts crying, and Pookie grabs her and calms her down and tells her it breaks his heart seeing her cry and that she is not broken. He will do this with her to help her prove it.
If I have to, like, show you.
Twist my arm.
Also, the pressure, though. If she's like, "I can't come, make me come."
I'd be like, "I can't.
Oh, my God.
What if I don't?"
Yeah, that's terrifying.
All Garrett can think of at training that day is what Hannah just told him, what she'd been through, and how he hopes to God the guy is in prison or else he will be dead. Hannah gets to Garrett's house after work. Also, I put ew because, like, she's planning on having sex with him and then just worked, like, a six-hour shift or however long her shift was. I think it was, like, 6 hours or something like that. Like, go home and change and shower, girl, and then come over.
Yeah, you're sweaty. You're stinky. Clean your crevices. Yeah.
And she walks in and she's like, "All right, let's do this." And he's like, "No, girl, let's not."
He's like, "Go fucking wash your ass." Yeah.
He's like, "Let's relax first. Let's change." He gives her some clothes to change into because she forgot her change of clothes. And they start watching some Breaking Bad. Garrett starts kissing her neck and then kissing her all over her erogenous zones. And it's making her hella soaked. I think of the Friends episode where she's like, seven. Yeah. He cups her pussy and is pleased when he finds her soaking wet.
I'm desperate to touch him, and my hands move as if possessed, slipping under his waistband and into his boxers. The second I encounter his erection, my jaw drops. "Oh my God, are you kidding me?" He looks startled. "What's wrong? Are you taking human growth hormones or something?" I snatch my hand back, fighting another rush of nervousness. There's no way that huge monster is fitting inside me. Oh, he's like...
Things are getting hot and heavy between them until she finds him watching her. And that's a trigger for her from her assault. So she tries to push through it, but it's not working and the pleasure quickly dies away. He gives her literal quotes from his Google searches and she's like, "You researched this?" And he's like, "I had to. I've never been put in this situation and I wanted to make sure I was educated."
Oh, king.
He tells her he has an idea.
"Show me what you do to yourself when you're alone," he coaxes. The lump in my throat is too big to speak past. His voice grows hoarse and seductive. "Show me and I'll show you."
A little mutual masturbation.
I think that's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something about seeing a man jack his own ween. I'm like.
But like specifically to you. If it was like just doing it, no. But to you, yeah.
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 Yeah. Not like masturbating in the shower alone. Ew, yuck. But like doing it in front of me.
Yeah.
Just like hunched over the toilet by a
Sexy.
Hi.
Garrett is low-key nervous as he starts jerking himself off, but all those nerves stop once he sees Hannah.
Spread your legs, I tell her. I want to see you. She hesitates, and then she does it, and my breath spirals out of my lungs. Fucking perfection. She's pink and pretty and glistening and perfect.
He coaches her while she touches himself, him matching her pace. They're both so close.
We're both making noise. I'm groaning. She's whimpering, sighing. The air is electric and my body is on fire. Oh God, she's panting for air now. Watch me, I mumble. Watch what you're doing to me. I stroke myself faster and she cries out, Garrett. She comes with my name on her lips and I come to the sound of it.
Hot. Hannah is amazed that she came. Yes, it was by her hand, but there was a man in the room with her. She throws herself on him in awe and happiness, and immediately she's like, let's have sex.
Let's fuck.
He tells her no, tonight was huge for her and they should take this in baby steps.
Oh my God, that pissed me off so bad.
Also, he just came.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. He's probably got to recharge his dick.
Yeah.
With that, she cracks a huge smile and tells him that he's a really, really good man. When Hannah gets home, she's immediately stopped by her roommate, Allie, and Hannah gives her a play-by-play of the night, but she insists they're not dating. Speaking of dating, she completely forgot that she agreed to go on a date with Justin, but she's at a crossroad because she doesn't really want to go out with Justin after what she just did with Garrett, but also they're not dating, and Garrett specifically says he doesn't do the girlfriend thing. As Hannah gets to practice, of course, things change even more, and she now has a cellist named Kim Jong-un. Wait, no.
No, she doesn't.
What the fuck, Jenna?
Wait, what's the child's name? Because that's what I
know. He's a Korean dictator.
No, but I was using speech to text, and I literally think I just. Like, She has a new cellist player that has to go along with the choir. Garrett meets her after practice and sticks up for her in front of Cass, and the tension is high. They have solid eye contact, and Garrett is like, my place, and Hannah just takes his coffee cup that he got them and dumps it out in the trash, giving him her answer, and they head out. They get back to his house and into his room.
His gray eyes go molten hot. Now get on the bed so I can make you come.
Yes, sir. That's a big promise, though.
I mean, she came the other day, so maybe she's like, her body's like, oh, yeah, we can come.
But she was flicking her own bean.
I know, but it was with him.
What makes you think that you can flick her bean? The way she flicks her own bean.
He fucks.
Oh, he does fuck, yeah.
He fucks. So she knows that he can do it.
Watch, he just like rubs her left lip.
No!
Like, did you come?
Just like is like trying to rub her clit, but is actually like fucking rubbing her vagina whole.
Oh no.
Yeah, and he's like, do you fucking like that?
Oh yeah. They start making out and quickly it gets hot and steamy, but the whole time he's checking in with her and making sure she feels safe and comfortable as he starts eating her out.
Please, I whimper when the tempo once again becomes excruciatingly leisurely. More. He raises his head and I'm pretty sure I've never glimpsed anything sexier than the sight of his glossy lips and burning gray eyes. Do you think you can come like this? I surprise myself by nodding. I don't think I'm lying, though. I'm wound up so tight. I'm like a cartoon bomb about to detonate. With a low growl of approval, he leans down and wraps his lips around my clit. He sucks hard, simultaneously pushing one finger inside me, and I go off like a rocket launcher.
Our girl did it. She's so overcome with emotion, she starts crying.
Hell yeah, girl.
Once Garrett knows they're happy tears, he visibly relaxes. He tries getting her to admit that he's a sex god and has achieved what no other man has, and so says, okay, it's time for you to shut up. Then she drops to the ground and enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000.
Yeah, that'd make me dry up immediately if a man said that.
Unfortunately, nothing more can happen, though, because he has to go to practice, but he did tell her she can stay at his house and binge watch TV while he's gone. She surprises herself by taking him up on the offer. When she's home alone at his house, she calls her mom and has a great idea. When the boys get home from practice, they're greeted with the most amazing smell, her family recipe for homemade lasagna.
He made you come once.
Yeah.
Also, how presumptuous. I feel like I'd feel so weird being in my hookup's kitchen and just being like, I'm going to make your entire team a lasagna.
Yeah, a lasagna of all things. That takes love, dedication.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd be like, I'm heating you up some pizza rolls.
As they're sitting at the table eating, they're talking about Halloween tomorrow. Hannah got roped in to hand out drinks at their dorm's Halloween dorm crawl, and Logan drops the bomb not to expect to see Garrett there because he never celebrates Halloween. He never has. Once dinner is done, Garrett is about to drive her home, and he drags her in the hallway and gives her a heartfelt smooch.
I kiss her hard, losing myself in her taste and her heat and every damn thing about her. I never expected her. Sometimes people sneak up on you, and suddenly you don't know how you ever lived without them, how you went about your day and hung out with your friends and fucked other people without having this one important person in your life. Hannah breaks the kiss with a soft laugh. Get a room, she teases. I decide it might be time to reevaluate my stance on girlfriends.
Oh my god.
To be the one to make a man think like that?
Wow.
Uh-huh. Your pussy is powerful.
He hasn't even had sex with her yet.
It's the next day, Halloween. After much thought, she knew deep down it has to be more of a serious reason for Garrett to hate Halloween, rather than his excuse of it being a pointless holiday. It didn't feel right to leave him sad and home alone. So she bites the bullet and decides to ask Tracy to borrow her car, then heads over to her Pookie's house.
Hannah shows up at Garrett's after feeling guilty that he's probably just sitting at home alone being sad about whatever it is that makes him hate Halloween. He's pleasantly surprised to see that she's wearing normal clothes and not a costume, and she tells him she just found out that her parents can't come out for Christmas either, so she's pretty bummed. She says they're too broke after taking out a second mortgage for the court case to come to Briar, and she's too afraid to go back to Ransom, which is the town that she's from. He asks her if her rapist, Aaron, is in jail, and she says no. His mother was the mayor of Ransom, and his father is the parish leader. So they basically run the town. Aaron's friends lied and said she'd thrown herself at Aaron and drugged herself, even though she had a rape kit done that showed trauma. But the judge sided with the man.
Why would somebody drug themselves? That's so fucking stupid.
I don't know. Then the charges got dropped and the whole town turned against Hannah and her entire family. And then his family sued her family for defamation, and Hannah's family was forced to pay for his legal fees for the trial. So now her family is completely broke.
Ugh, that's so terrible.
The one time she tried to go back to town, she ran into some of the fathers of Aaron's friends who lied under oath against her, and they made a rude comment to her, so her dad beat the dude's ass, so now she's too scared to ever go back again.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah, because her dad just, like, rocked this other dad in the middle of a hardware store.
As he should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett decides to tell Hannah why he hates Halloween. When he was 12, he got home from trick-or-treating, and it was the first time his dad beat the shit out of him.
Oh, God.
Just in his little Halloween costume.
Oh, that's so sad.
She tells him she wants to replace his bad memories with good ones and whips his dick out and starts to suck in.
Yeah.
Remember when your dad beat the shit out of you? How about this?
How about I suck your dick instead?
After they just had this complete trauma dump, she's like, you want a blowjob?
New Halloween memory.
Are you hard?
Yeah. The tip of my dick damn near blows off when the wet heat of her mouth surrounds me. One small, delicate hand caresses my thigh as she works me over with her mouth. Her other hand is curled tightly around my shaft, her thumb rubbing the sweet spot under the head of my dick, and each long suck pushes me deeper into pure, blissful oblivion. She's sucking that thing.
He tells her he doesn't know when his roomies will get home, so let's take this party upstairs. They get naked and fall into his bed together, and he confesses that there was a time he didn't even know her name, and he doesn't understand how he never noticed her before. He tells her he likes her, like he really likes her. And she says she likes him too. He grabs a condom and tells her to ride him.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, fuck. Garrett's fingers dig into my hips before I can move. Tell me about your grandmother again. Now? His voice comes out strained. Yes, now. Because I don't know if anyone has ever told you this before, but you are tighter than a... Okay, no. Not gonna think about how tight you are. What's Nana's name? Sylvia. I make a valiant effort not to laugh. His breathing grows audibly labored. Where does she live? Florida. Retirement home. Beads of sweat break out of my forehead because Garrett is not the only one close to losing it here. Wait, why are they talking about her grandma? So he doesn't, like, bust a nut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, okay, he's good now, and gives her permission to go wild. She gladly obliges and almost immediately comes, with him following right after. While they're laying there in bed together, he asks her to come to his game on Friday. He tells her she can take his Jeep and bring Allie, and she says, okay, sure. Then he's rock hard and ready for round two.
Ow, ow.
A few days later, she heads to the game with Allie. Hannah is mesmerized watching Garrett play, and she realizes that, oh shit, she has a date with Justin on Sunday. She completely forgot about Justin. This whole thing was for Justin. Cancel it.
Justin who?
Yeah. Yeah, it is Justin who. Garrett wins the game and decides that Hannah must be his good luck charm and simply must come to all of the games from now on. He goes to find her after and swoops her in for a hug and a kiss in front of everyone.
Cute.
That's his girl.
Then he's pulled away by his shitty father, who demands that he comes home for Thanksgiving because his dad's new girlfriend is cooking dinner. Garrett tries to say no, but his dad is like, listen here, you ungrateful little shit. You're coming home. So
his dad sucks.
No, bitch.
Garrett says fine and stalks away back to Hannah. He kisses her goodbye and gets back on the bus with his team. But then Logan drops the bomb that he ran into Justin, who told him he has a date with Hannah this weekend.
Fuck.
When Hannah gets home, Garrett texts her that they need to talk and he's at her door. He asks her straight up if she's going out with Justin, and she says she doesn't know. And he's like, no, Hannah, you're not fucking going.
Yes.
Valid.
Yeah.
They're in love.
Yeah, you guys are fucking.
She tells him that they aren't dating, and also he said he doesn't do girlfriends. And he says, yeah, well, things change, and I want you to be my girlfriend. You like me, I like you, so let's make it official. She says she doesn't even know what they are to each other, and he's like, you fucking know.
He halts so abruptly it gives me whiplash. You what? I whisper. He stops again. His gray eyes darken. You know what? Forget it. I guess you're right. This was all about exploring the attraction. He sounds increasingly bitter. I'm just your sex therapist, right? Actually, no. I'm your fucking fluffer. Fluffer? I say blankly. Like in porn, he mutters. They bring in the fluffer to suck off the dudes between takes so they stay hard. Anger colors his tone. That's my job, right? To get you nice and hot for Cole? To get you ready to bone him?
Man. Third act breakup.
Pookie's feelings are hurt.
Shoot.
He tells her, you know what? Go on your fucking date. Justin can take things over from here on out, and storms out. And now Hannah realizes she just threw away a good thing. She races after him and tells him he can't just storm out like that. He had time to think about everything and just dropped it all on her and stormed out when she didn't even have time to absorb what was even happening. Which is valid.
Yeah.
Because he's been stewing on this, and she just answered her door and he just laid into her. He says he's sorry he ran out, but not sorry that he wants to be with her. She tells him she canceled the date with Justin before she ran out after him, and if he can deal with taking things slow, they can do this damn thing.
Yeah!
Woo!
Healthy communication, baby, let's go! Now can we please go inside? I'm freezing my butt off and I need my fluffer to warm me up. I narrow my eyes. Excuse me? She blinks innocently. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say fluffer? Her smile lights up her whole face. I meant boyfriend.
Ooh, cute.
2 weeks pass and things are going really well with the new happy couple. Aside from Cass and MJ kicking Hannah out of the band. So she got kicked out. Remember, MJ and Cass are dating now and Hannah and Cass are butting heads on this recital thing. And since MJ is dating Cass, she's like, you know what, Hannah? I'm on Cass's side. You're out of the band. And now Hannah's going solo and she's taking Cass's cellist with her, Kim Jong-un. She practices for her performance for the next month, and one night she's up late working on it when Garrett texts asking if she's up. He lost the game tonight and is icing his entire torso, so she calls him.
Hey, I lean back against my pillow. I'm sorry I can't come over and kiss all your boo-boos, but I'm working on the song. It's okay, there's only one boo-boo I want you to kiss, and you sound too distracted for that. He pauses. I'm talking about my dick, by the way. I'd be like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
She puts him on speaker and plays him the song she's working on, and then he asks her to come to Thanksgiving with him, and she tells him, of course she will. So remember, she doesn't have plans for Thanksgiving.
home.
Yeah, go hang out with his shitty family.
It's Thanksgiving and they show up to the mansion dressed to the nines per his father's request. Hannah helps the new girlfriend in the kitchen and finds out that they almost immediately moved in together about a year ago, and he forced her to sell her company because he missed her too much. So he got a super hot, super successful younger girlfriend and immediately was like, be my housewife. Then Hannah notices the bruising on this woman's wrists and knows that their relationship is completely toxic and abusive. And Garrett talks about how before his mom died, his dad was extremely abusive to his mom. During dinner, Garrett almost immediately picks up on the signs, and now he's fucking pissed. As soon as everyone is done with their food, Garrett's like, okay, well, we're leaving. But his dad pulls him aside and tells him that Hannah is a liability and that he's been playing like shit recently. And Garrett is like, yeah, well, I know you're beating the shit out of your little girlfriend, and asks what the fuck is the matter with him. And he seriously needs fucking help before he hurts her more than he already has.
Yeah.
Garrett goes to Hannah and asks her to wait in the car while he talks to Cindy, who's the girlfriend. He tells Cindy that he knows what's happening to her because it happened to him as a child. And his mom too. He tells her it's not her fault, and if she ever needs to talk, he's only a phone call away. She's shocked and says thank you, and then Garrett finally leaves. In the car, he tells Hannah he's scared that he's just like his dad. So she's like, okay, so what if I slept with the entire hockey team? What would you do? And he's like, I'd end it and walk out. And she's like, would you hit me? And he's like, of course not. And she's like, boom, there you go, not like your dad. They pull over to have some car sex, and he busts out a pack of condoms from the glove box. And she's like, whoa, why do you have those there? And he's like, what if I'm driving and I see Kate Upton hitchhiking or something? And she's like, oh, so you like busty blondes? And he says, no, I like busty brunettes.
Good save, good save.
One in particular, who by the way also has curves to spare. My hands slide down to her waist and tiny hips. I glide my palms underneath her and squeeze her round bottom and a grabbable ass. I move one hand between her legs and the tightest pussy on the planet. She shivers. You have the dirtiest mouth. Yeah, but you still love me. Her breath hitches. Yeah, I do. Her green eyes shine up at me. I love you.
Cute. He tells her he loves her too, and it's the first time he's ever said that to a girl before. Then they make sweet, sweet love.
Cutesy.
A week later, Hannah heads to Garrett's game after her rehearsal. They win the game 2-1, and when she's walking through the crowd looking for Garrett, she runs smack dab into the son of the guy her dad beat the shit out of that one time. The guy's name is Rob Delaney, which I thought was really funny, because that's a comedian.
Oh.
Very funny comedian. Rob Delaney, check him out.
Okay.
Garrett finds her looking white as a sheet, making eye contact with this dude, and asks who he is. He assumes it's Aaron, and she says it's not, but it's his best friend. Garrett sees red and immediately goes after the guy, telling him he's a piece of shit rapist defender, and Rob tells him to go back to his slut girlfriend. He blacks out and beats the absolute shit out of Rob. He gets a one-game suspension for starting a fight on school property. They went easy on him after Hannah explained to the coach who Rob was. So they were like, oh, well, you were defending your girlfriend. You can't play in the next game.
Okay.
He goes over to Hannah after to apologize for what he did. She tells him that the best revenge on people like that is just living a happy life, knowing that they're just sorry excuses for human beings, which, very mature.
Yeah. Hannah. I could never.
No.
They go to bed together and snuggle while Garrett feels nothing but shame. Because remember, he is terrified of turning out like his dad.
Mm-hmm.
The next day at work, Hannah has a lovely visit from Garrett's father, who thinks that his son is being distracted by her and tells her that she will break up with Garrett with no further communication, or he will completely cut his son off financially.
Oh my God.
What a dick.
She knows that even if she tells him what his father is up to, he'll pick her over the money and his life will be completely ruined. So she's backed into a corner and forced to comply. So she ghosts him for a few days, and when Garrett shows up at her door looking for answers, she ends things.
Oh my fucking God.
He thinks it's because of how he lost his temper with Rob, but she tells him it's just moving too fast and she wants to have the college experience and sow her wild oats. He calls her a fucking coward and leaves with his heart broken. He goes home to get shit-faced. Hannah goes through the motions for the next week and she is absolutely miserable. But now it's time for her big showcase. She runs into Cass backstage and tells him to literally break a leg, and he calls her a bitch. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about anything right now.
Yeah, go get your man.
MJ finds her and apologizes to her and says that Cass broke up with her right after he got the solo. So Cass used her.
And she told her, she's like, this is going to happen. And MJ was like, no, I think he really likes me.
No, he doesn't.
No, stupid bitch.
She does her performance thinking back on how she used to sing her song to Garrett. And she's shocked when the crowd goes silent and then gives her a standing ovation.
Slay.
Because she was in her feelings singing the song from her heart. As soon as it's over, she rushes out the exit, overcome with emotion, and runs smack dab into Garrett. He tells her she was amazing and asks how many guys she's been out with this week. She says none, and he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. And he's like, so I've been thinking, and I'm convinced that you lied to me when you broke up with me. I don't know why, but I will find out.
Tell him now.
She can't, or else he'll lose all his money. Between the showcase and Christmas break, she's run into Garrett a few times, and each time he's asked her how many guys she's been out with, and each time the answer is none. But luckily for her, she found a way to see her family for Christmas, so she'll finally get a break from seeing him all over campus. Her parents congratulate her on winning the scholarship for her performance, and she tells her mom about all of her woes. It's New Year's Eve, the day before Garrett's birthday, and she is miserable and spending it with her middle-aged parents. Like, she's just sitting in the living room watching the ball drop on TV, feeling pathetic.
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
And her dad finally looks at her and was like, just call the boy, Hannah. Whoever this man is, just fucking call him. Yeah. You're dragging us down.
Yeah, you're making us miserable.
Call that man. Get him back.
She does, and he answers immediately, and she tells him happy birthday. He asks how many guys she's been seeing, and she says, a few. And he's like, cool, hope that's going well for you. And she says, yeah, I'm having a blast.
Okay.
Liar.
He says, nice, I'll see you in a few days, and you can tell me all about it, and he hangs up. Back on campus a few days later, she tells herself she needs to publicly date someone, so Garrett finally buys her story. She tries to flirt with some guy she recognizes from class, but he treats her like she's diseased and basically runs away from her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She walks up and she's like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, ah, why are you talking to me? Ah.
Oh my God.
Then she runs into Justin. It's super awkward with no chemistry, and she apologizes to him for leading him on. She did like him, but she fell for Garrett, and she's still in love with him. But if Justin wants to be friends, she'd love to hang out and talk Hemingway.
Huh. Okay.
He says he's down and to text him. Then she calls Allie's boyfriend, Sean, and is like, hey, can you take me to a frat party and hook me up with one of those guys, please? And he's like, fuck no. First of all, Allie would kill me. And also, Garrett told every guy on campus that if they even touch you, he'll kick their asses. So now she knows she's completely blacklisted.
That is your man.
And that's why when she went up to that guy, he was like, ah, don't fucking talk to me. Ah,
yeah. I don't want my ass kicked.
So she marches off to go find Garrett and give him a piece of her mind. The team just finished practice, so she finds him in the locker room.
I burst into the locker room and penises, sweet Jesus, penises everywhere. Horror slams into me as I register what I'm seeing. Oh God, I've stumbled onto a penis convention. Big penises and small penises and fat penises and penis-shaped penises. It doesn't matter which direction I move my head because everywhere I look, I see penises. That's scary.
Yeah,
that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it sounds scary, scary, scary.
She lays into Garrett and he admits it. He's also very pleased with himself and is like, I know you're in love with me, so I took preventative measures so you didn't do something you regretted.
Okay.
He presses the issue asking why she broke up with him, but he's not buying her bullshit answers, so he grabs her and kisses her, and she doesn't pull away. Finally, she tells him the truth. His father made her do it. Now he's pissed, and he says they're going somewhere to talk, and she'll tell him every word that son of a bitch said. They go back to her dorm, and she spills the beans. He tells her it's a shame they missed out on a whole month because of this. She says she couldn't let him fuck his life up and lose out on hockey because his dad cut him off, and he's like, girl, I got a fat inheritance on my birthday from my grandparents that my dad doesn't know about. I sent him a check and paid back everything he ever gave me, and I'm still rich as shit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
She feels dumb as hell and apologizes, and he says he understands why she did it.
He snickers. It's okay. At least you're hot. And don't get me started on your stripper tits. I squeak, and when he suddenly cups my breasts over my sweater and gives them a hearty squeeze, he makes a contented little noise as he rubs his palms over my quickly hardening nipples. Oh, I've missed these. You don't know how fucking much.
And he's always telling her she has stripper tits.
stripper tits. Is that a compliment? I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves her stripper tits.
He says, as far as he's concerned, they never broke up. And now it's time to fuck and make up. All is right in the world again. The end.
Wow. Cutesy.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give this one 4.
Okay.
It was cute.
And do you think Garrett is sexy?
I do. He's a good one.
He's a good man.
He's a good man, Savannah.
Would you trade places with Hannah?
Sure, why not?
And next week, we're telling Riley all about Burn For Me by Lauren Blakely, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
It's just got a man on the cover, a ripped man, and it says, "Burn For Me." She's the one fire he can't put out.
Oh my God.
Okay. I feel like it's going to be this girl. She lives in town. This guy, he lives in town. He's a firefighter. Her building, her apartment catches fire. He comes and helps her. They build a connection. And then let's say another building she works at catches fire. They meet again. And they just build a budding romance. But then something happens at his job in a fire, and she must be there for him.
It sounds like she's starting the fires in the scene. Yes, it
does. An arsonist firefighter romance.
I mean, wow. She's the one fire he can't put out.
Because she just keeps setting fires.
Yeah.
I must see him again.
How'd I do? How'd I do?
He's a firefighter.
And they both live in town.
Okay. Well, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.